You know, you can be in the company of somebody in someone's presence and miss them. You can be sitting together in a car riding somewhere together and yet not have fellowship. And my wife and I sometimes, you know, we are not always talkers, you know, believe it or not. I'm not always talking. I'm actually quite quiet a lot of times. But just her and I together sometimes, just sitting together or being together, even in the same room, you know, is also special. You know, we don't have to always be saying or doing something, but just being together. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just want to be together with somebody, right? And hang out together, and just having them around and knowing that they're with you is a special thing. But you know, the Lord is like that. He wants us not only to acknowledge the fact that He's with us, but He wants to communicate with us. He wants to share His heart with us. He wants us to know Him. God wants to reveal Himself to us. You cannot know God simply by Bible study alone. You must have the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit revealing the heart of God to you. He searches the deep things of God and He reveals them to us. So the Word and the Spirit need to work together in order for us to have a revelation or a revealing of who God really is. I think we get into trouble when we have opinions about God that are not based in truth, in reality. I've had views of God that were obscured. How about you? I've thought that I've known God before and really didn't know Him much at all. I may have heard about God, learned about God, but the real question is, do I really know God's heart? And under the law, and even the teachers of the law were teaching about God, and when God showed up in the person of Jesus Christ, they didn't recognize Him because they didn't know the heart of God. But Jesus came to reveal the heart of God to people, so that people can know what God is really like, not what I think He might be like based upon my own experiences in life. Often based upon my experiences with authority figures. A lot of times we have a view of God based upon our own experience and the experiences we've had with people as we've grown up. If my folks were a certain way, or my teacher was a certain way, or the authorities were a certain way, then God must be like that. Because that was the model that we had. That was the example that we had. And so what God wants us to realize is that He really is our Father. He really is the Father of our spirits and the lover of our souls. And that God really did love you and I first. It wasn't that we loved Him. It wasn't that we were looking for Him or even searching for Him. God was the one that went looking for you. Jesus said, I left the 99 and I went after the one. You know, He's the good shepherd and the lover of our soul. And the good shepherd gave His life for His sheep. He laid His life down willingly. No man, He said, takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly. For God so loved the world. God so loved you. And God's plan was to bring us back into fellowship with Him. Not just to have Jesus, amen, in the house, but to have a relationship with Him. To where we really know what He's like. How many know that you can sit in a room with somebody that's a total stranger and you can have all kinds of opinions, and maybe based upon the way they appear, you may have an idea what maybe they're like. And how many have met somebody and you had them already sized up basically by the way they appeared? Okay, and until you got to talk to them and spend a little time with them, all of a sudden your whole idea changed about them, and who you got to know them actually for who they are, or hopefully who they really were. How many have ever made a phone call, maybe customer service somewhere, or maybe you were going to set up an appointment to meet with somebody, and you never met that person in person? So you call and you got this voice, and in your mind you have an image of that person. Come on, right? And when you meet them, you're like, because I've learned to say, so what do you look like? So if I'm meeting you in a restaurant, I know what to look for. What are you going to be wearing? Come on, right? Because we've all done that. We've all had mental pictures that were obscured, basically based upon our own reasoning, but not based in fact or reality or truth. Until we met that person and got acquainted with them, and then we begin to realize who they really are and what they look like, what their attributes are. So likewise, God wants us to not just know about Him a little bit, but He wants us to be personally acquainted with Him. And He wants us to live our lives with Him and walk with Him and enjoy life and the journey together with Jesus. You're never alone. If you have Jesus, amen, you have God with you. Christ in you is your hope of glory. There is evidence of divine revelation. When you are really getting a revelation of who God is, there will be evidence of that. And Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So basically, in a nutshell, what is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord, if I can simplify it, is to really know God and take Him seriously. Because when you really come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, it changes you. When you truly have a revelation of who God really is, it will change you. You will not be the same. And so people that fear the Lord, that take God seriously, are the ones who know God. It's not necessarily a fear of punishment, of hell, of wrath or damnation. Some people think fearing God just means fearing going to hell. Well, Jesus came to deliver us from hell, amen? It's not God's intention that anybody goes there. God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that everyone would return to Him, amen? Come to repentance, that we would call on Him and be rescued by Him, and brought into relationship with Him and enjoy life together, abundant, overflowing, superior quality and quantity of life with Jesus. When the law came and we heard the word, we were convicted, we were convinced by the law that we had broken the law of God, we had stolen, we had lied, we had cheated, we had bear false witness possibly, whatever it might have been, whatever the sin was that we were convicted by, it did bring a sense of judgment upon us, and that we stand condemned and that we're guilty as a criminal before the court of heaven, and there's no way for you and I to redeem ourselves or to escape the penalty of our transgression. So the law is perfect and holy and good, and it reveals to us the fact that we're sinful and that we need God's grace. We need His mercy, because we can't save ourselves by our good works. It's by the mercy of God that we are saved. And so we need to understand the heart of our Father. It wasn't to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. That was God's heart. I did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning evidence that you are truly receiving divine revelation. When you really begin to know God personally, it will change you. You cannot be in a true encounter with the living God and not be changed. You cannot remain the same when you had an encounter with the living God. You cannot be in His presence and remain the same. When we look to Jesus, we are changed. When we trust in Him, amen, God does a work of grace in our hearts. If we're willing to let Him in and allow Him to do that work, amen, we can be stubborn, we can be resistant, we can rebel against God's wooings and His callings to us. But if we want to cooperate with God and we want to open our hearts and we really want to know the Lord, Jesus said, if you seek, you will find. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, and what? If you knock, the door will be opened. Guys, if we don't spend any time in this book, we don't know what God says. Amen? And we're not in communion with the Holy Spirit as we're reading this. Then we can have all kinds of opinions of what God looks like, what He's like, what His attributes are, based upon just our personal opinion, but not based in fact or truth or reality. And so, we can be deceived. We can think God is a certain way when He's not. We can fashion a God to suit ourselves. We can make God to be whatever we want Him to be in our own opinion, which may not be based in reality. Come on, somebody. So what I want is to know the Lord, to know what who He really is, what He's really like. When Jesus showed up, people were like, isn't this the carpenter's son? They were blown away by the fact that God, the Almighty God, the Creator God, the Word, amen, that was in the beginning with God, amen, became a man, became flesh, dwelt among us, amen, was born of a virgin in a stable, became invisible to the naked eye, amen. And that seed was planted in the womb of a virgin so that bloodline would not be tainted by Adam's sinful line, amen? And so that child that was born was going to be holy and the blood of that child could atone for the sins of the world. And that was the only way for anyone to be saved was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the authority to become the sons of God, to them that believe on His name. Before Job had that trial, he had a certain concept of God. He had a theological concept of God. How many know that trials are actually good for us? We come to know God's faithfulness through trials. We come to know God's character and person through trials, because trials have a tendency to cause us to go deeper into God, to draw near to God. Difficulties can be good for you. Amen. They can produce good fruit in your life. Because when you draw near to God, you'll be changed. So Job had this theological concept of God based upon what he heard about God. But it took this difficult trial for him to get the revelation of who God truly was. And he said in Job 42 verse 5, I have heard of you. This is how he summed things up. By the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It means like to be cast away or to fade away or to shrink away in the presence of Almighty God. When he's had a true revelation of who God was. In the New Living Translation, he said, I had only heard about you before. But now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said. Do you know, sometimes we can get really wordy. We can be good talkers. And we can talk theology, amen, until it's coming out of our ears. But when you're in the presence of Almighty God, amen, and the reverential fear of God comes upon you, the fact you know that every word, every idle word, amen, is being weighed in the balance. What we say, we're accountable for. All of a sudden, I'm not so gabby anymore. How many here know what it's like to be around certain people that, well, when you're with your buds and you're with your family or people you're comfortable with, you can be pretty chatty catty, as I heard the word say, right? But then you get around certain people, maybe there's a certain authority to that person, or maybe they're aware of something and they have knowledge that we don't know, of things that we don't know. We're kind of a little more quiet around them, amen, because we're kind of like, well, I don't want to say anything and not know what I'm saying because they're going to know that I don't know what I'm talking about. Has anybody ever felt that way before? You get around certain people, you just all of a sudden you just clam up. I was that way in school a lot. I was just hoping the teacher wouldn't call on me because I know I didn't have the answer. I was in La La Land somewhere. I was dreaming about what was going on after school, you know. What do you think, Mr. Arnsmeyer? But if we really know that person, we're acquainted with them, it's no limit. How many know what I'm talking about? You got your children, for example. Sometimes they're really shy. They get around the other kids. And maybe you got together with another family and their kids are out, you know, playing. But at first, they're all kind of like, how's it going? What's your name? My name is Johnny, you know. And maybe give them a couple hours, things will warm up, maybe sooner. All of a sudden, they're just like, they're playing, they're laughing, they're having fun, they're just relaxed, and they're talking, and they're communicating, right? Where am I going with this? I don't know. But that's kind of how it works. Sometimes we get around people that we're not comfortable or we don't really know, and we don't know what to say. We're kind of awkward in that situation. But, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We're beginning to get a revelation of who God truly is. And I tell you, if you look at the examples in Scripture, and there's been times in my own life where I was so blasted by the presence of God, I was so awestruck by His holiness and His presence that I couldn't say much. I didn't dare say something sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Because I didn't really know what I was talking about. I thought I did. And Job said, I heard about you. I read about you probably. I don't know if they had books back then. But he said, I heard about you in my ear. But now my eyes have seen you and I abhor myself. And I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. He became aware of his own sinfulness in light of God's holiness. People who fear the Lord cannot be nonchalant about God. People who fear the Lord do not take God lightly. They highly respect the Lord. They respect His presence. The first thing that happened is he became aware of his true condition. Job was good of telling people how he saw it, what he thought about things, until he got close to God. Amen? God started to reveal himself to Job. Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? And he went down this whole speech with Job, and Job was just undone. You know? He had an attitude adjustment. Because he was getting a revelation of who God really is. Not based upon his opinion, but based in truth. And we need to know God in truth. And you cannot know God in truth except by the Holy Spirit, who will reveal God to you. And through the Word of God. The greater we get to God, the closer we get to God, the greater the love and respect we have for Him. An unregenerate person can blaspheme God, can make light of God. Even sometimes a backslidden Christian can lack proper respect towards God because they're becoming blind by their own sin. People who are flippant about God either do not know God or they've drifted from Him. Have you ever been around somebody that was speaking just kind of jovial about God? I don't know if that's the right word. It's just being very light and flippant about God and saying, maybe even making jokes sometimes about God. Even people that claim to be Christians, and you just cringe. You're like, how can you talk that way about God? I'll tell you why. Because they don't really know God. You might know about God, but you don't really know God. You can't talk that way about God unless you don't know Him. But the more we come to know God, the more serious we are about Him. And it's an interesting thing. The more in love we are with Him. He's like the Father that you know He's the authority. Amen? He's got big boots. Amen. He can deal a blow. He can spank you pretty good. He can give you a big attitude adjustment if necessary, but He's also a Father who so loves you and enjoys you and delights in you and wants you to be with Him. The disciples hung out with Jesus, did all kinds of things together with Jesus. He even gave them part of the anointing, and they went out and healed the sick and cast out demons and proclaimed the kingdom. Amen. Even Judas was among them. But sometimes we can get familiar with people and forget who they are. And so one day, Jesus is letting them know that He's going to have to go away. He's going to the cross. He's going to have to lay down His life for the sins of the world and become our sacrifice. And Peter was the one who stood up and said, "Oh no, Jesus, I won't let that happen." Now, how many of us would have done the same thing out of love for Jesus? Do you understand? But just because we do a good thing doesn't mean it's a right thing. It wasn't in the will of God, amen, for that to not happen. It was supposed to happen. For that reason, Jesus came to become our sacrifice. And so He immediately turned around and rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." You see, even the disciples who hung out with Jesus only had a partial revelation of Him, I believe. Now, obviously, they had to know Him better than any of us, having spent 3 years so intimately together with Jesus. But how is it that even one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, how is it that he could be with Jesus, participating in all the, and saw all the miracles and everything that Jesus did? How is it that he could then betray the Lord? You see, people who don't fear the Lord are flippant towards God. They don't respect the things of God. They're people that come, they have no respect for the presence of God. When Isaiah saw the Lord, how many remember that in Isaiah 6? He became very aware of his polluted condition. It says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." He had a vision of who God really was. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Attending Him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. And they were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Amen. Or the Lord of hosts, or heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man." What's happening? Isaiah is getting a glimpse of who God really is. Not based upon his imagination or his opinion, but based in truth. "I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Isaiah had an honest heart. He didn't try to run and hide. He didn't try to cover his sin. He became exposed and quite aware of who he was in the presence of that Holy One. Amen? The Holy One. It didn't end there, hallelujah. In verse 6 it says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with it and said, 'See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed. Your sins are forgiven.'" What did Isaiah do? He became aware of his sinfulness. He says, "I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And he was just undone in God's presence. But what did God do? God forgave his sin. God cleansed him and purged him from his sin. Amen? And the next thing we know in verse 8, God's not only cleansing him from sin, but now he's commissioning or calling Isaiah to serve him. "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" How many of us will say, not me, Lord, in that presence, in the almighty presence of God? Wow. I think we'd all say, yeah. Kind of like what Paul happened to Paul, amen? On the road to Damascus. What was happening here? Isaiah's gratitude was obvious. When you've had an encounter with God, when you've got a glimpse of who God really is, and you've seen how ugly your sin is, and how there's such a contrast between who you are and who He is, and you knew that you're undone, and you're in trouble, and you could be destroyed in the presence of such holiness by virtue of who He is. Oh God, woe is me, I am undone. And what did God do? God in His mercy said, I'm going to purge your sin, I'm going to cleanse you. Not only that, I'm going to call you to serve me. And he said, here, my Lord, send me. Out of gratitude, Isaiah said, Lord, what can I do for you now? How many know that's the way it is? When you truly receive the grace of God, it changes you. When you have an encounter of who God really is, it changes you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of really knowing who God truly is. When people encountered God, they fell on their faces, dead men before God. Before His awesome power. Even the angels themselves, when they appeared to men, men were just smitten by the very presence of these angelic beings. How much more the King of Glory? All of a sudden, the things I was so quick about, I'm not so quick about. The things that I would be so quick to say about God, I'm a little more cautious now in His presence, with the awareness that every idle word I speak, I shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Knowing, amen, that my words, I'll be justified, and by my words, I can be condemned. And it's the fear of the Lord that draws us to God and say, God, please forgive me. God, please be merciful to me. I thought I knew you. I heard about you. I learned about you. But now I'm really understanding who you really are. And I know, God, that the only hope I have is to cast myself down at your feet as a poor beggar in need of mercy and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God says, your sins are forgiven. Go free. Enter into the joy of the Lord and the fellowship of the Lord. And when you know that you have peace with God, when the blood of Christ has been applied to your heart, and you've got the garment of righteousness on, amen, then you have peace and you enjoy the journey, the relationship with Jesus. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I enjoy my walk with God today, amen? But I had to first come to a saving knowledge of Him. I had to know who He truly was, how holy He was, and how sinful I was. Before I could come to Him in repentance and receive the mercy and not only that, but the garment that would qualify me for His presence. If we have given honor and respect to earthly leaders, how much more should we honor and respect the King of Kings? It's like being on the job. I know none of you have ever done this before, but you're out there cutting up with your friends and your buddies on the job site or whatever, you know, you're doing your job, but you guys are just kind of messing up. We called it shamming in the Army, you know. Till all of a sudden, you know, one of the lead sergeants or an officer shows up, and all of a sudden, now we're all just dressed right, dressed. We're doing our job here. We're not clowning around anymore. There's a reverential respect for that authority. You hear me, somebody? That's the kind of respect we're talking about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, really knowing who He is. So attitudes and actions change. I laugh because how many here know what I'm talking about? You're driving down the road. You're just cruising along, you know. You're kind of pushing that. I can go another mile faster, you know, on that thing. And all of a sudden, here comes the little two bubbles, right? Or you see that guy on the side of the road with that gun facing at you. All of a sudden, you're like, woo! You see the whole row of cars. Everybody slows down. Bunch of hypocrites. What's happened? Well, they become aware of the authority that's there and the potential for getting in trouble. So now I'm going to behave myself because there's a reverential fear for that authority. So it is with the fear of the Lord. When you get to know who God is and Christ is in you, something changes within you. And the law is now written in your hearts by the Spirit. Amen. And so when you live your life and you know when you step out of line, you say, oh God, I'm not going to do that again. Please forgive me for that. Amen. You have that bad thought or that bad word, whatever it might be. You're just feeling bad about it. You got to come right to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And you know what he does? He says, you're forgiven. Thank God. There's mercy. But when you're in a relationship with somebody, you know when you're at peace with that person. You know when you have peace with God. If you ask somebody else, am I saved? You're probably not. Yeah. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? The King is coming. The Lord will return. Amen? We need to be praying. He said, watch, be watchful. Amen? Because I'm coming in an hour when you think not. As we are looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, that's talking to the church. We are looking forward to the day of God. Amen? Who are the people that are looking forward to Jesus coming? The people who live for Jesus. Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. I don't know if this is some kind of nuclear holocaust or it's going to be another thing like Sodom and Gomorrah on a world scale. I don't know, but there's going to be some fire, guys. And you know, we want to make sure that, first of all, you're in Christ. Amen. That you've got the garment of salvation, that you're ready, that you're prepared to meet the Lord. Nevertheless, he says in verse 13, we turn to your neighbor, say we. Say, we the redeemed, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. So what is our focus? Our focus is on things above. Our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope and our confidence is in Christ alone and not in self. Amen. We look fully to him and trust fully in the grace of God. And know that the Lord will keep that which we've committed unto him. Have you committed your soul to him? Do you really believe Jesus is your Savior today? Do you know God? If you know God, then you'll fear God. It means you will respect him and you will obey his word. Many people today are attempting to hide from God. There's only safety in the light, guys. There's no hiding place. Hebrews 4:13 says, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. John 3 and verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love that. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How many would agree with me this morning that you're glad that you came, and as you came here together with God's people, we just felt a cleansing that came over us, amen, and a strengthening that came, and we are being built up today by the Spirit of the Lord. And so as God's people, we are called to be light in this dark world. And the only reason we're light is because we abide in him who is light. Christ is the light of the world. So as we remain in him or abide in him, then we're able to reveal him to the world. We can't reveal God if we don't really know God. And people are attempting to reveal God. There are people that preach about God, and if they don't know God, they can't adequately present God to others. People will ask you sometimes, well, do you know the Lord? And you know, I think this is my pastor's response, one of the mentors in my life when I was coming up in the ranks. And he said, well, I'm getting to know the Lord. I'm getting to know the Lord. Come on, somebody. You may know a little bit about God. You may know God somewhat. But to say, oh, I know the Lord perfectly. No, we're getting to know the Lord through revelation. As the Holy Spirit reveals God to us, we come to know who He truly is. Amen. And the more that we come to know who He is, the more that we come to know who we are in Him. The identity problem that people have is, why am I here? What's it all about? Who am I? Well, you got to know your Creator to know who you are. You want to see perfection? Look to Jesus. Amen. You want to see what a perfect man looks like? Look to Jesus. That's who I want to be like when I grow up. So the fear of the Lord makes you and I aware of our need for God's mercy. You know you're beginning to know God when the fear of the Lord grips your heart and it begins producing holiness in you. Not only does it produce a transformation of your heart, but it brings obedience. It brings you into obedience. When I had a boss come to me and tell me to do something, I may not have wanted to do that, but I knew that there were consequences if I didn't obey him. And so out of respect for who he was, even if I didn't agree with it, I would obey him. How many know that if you and I don't agree with the counsel of God, we're the one in the wrong? Amen? Because God is perfect. God is holy. And his word is always true and always right. Amen? So how much more should we give allegiance to the Lord and obey his word if he tells us to do something? Amen? God is always right. It always works. Do not compromise truth. Or you give license for the enemy to mess you up. Because in the areas of your rebellion, those are the areas where the devil can camp out and mess you up. So we've got to have the fear of the Lord that brings us into a reverential respect for God and who he is, and understanding that when the fear of the Lord is in me, I know that even though I may be alone right now, I may be surfing the net, it's the fear of the Lord that will keep me, amen, from looking at content I shouldn't be looking at. Whether anybody's there to watch or not, I know that I am responsible before God for what I do, and God is watching. Everything is open and bare to the one to whom we must give an account. There are no secrets with God. God knows who you really are, your secret heart. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And even though we may fool people, we cannot fool God. I want to know God. I want to know the Lord. Who he really is. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to receive a different Jesus or a different spirit. There are people that have a different Jesus and a different spirit. But it's not the spirit of the Lord. There are many people that have their own pet doctrines and doctrines based upon their opinion, but not based in truth. And when these men, they saw God, they were trembling when Paul, you know, Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus, remember? His life was changed forever. He had an encounter with God. It says he trembled and was astonished, Acts 9:6, and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He was captivated by the awesome presence of God. He was blinded by the light, literally. And God said, arise and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. When Saul, who thought he knew God, was a teacher of the law, was one that was supposed to be representing God, had a true encounter with the living God, he was changed. He was not the same. And all of a sudden now he's saying, God, what can I do for you? He came under authority. He submitted himself to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? When the fear of the Lord is in you, you will submit yourself to the Word of God. You will not pick and choose what you're going to obey. When the fear of the Lord is in you, it will guide you, it will govern you, it will keep you. You need to have that, amen, reverential respect for who God is. And if you don't know who He really is, then you won't have that respect for Him. And the only way to know Him is by the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. The early church, they had such a visitation. It says that fear came upon every soul. In Acts 2:43, and the early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. I looked up that word fear, and it means phobos, alarm, or exceeding fear or terror came upon the people. People became aware of their sinfulness in the awesome presence of the Holy God. And it brought them to repentance. Are you hearing me, somebody? Today we're offering people solutions before they know they have the problem. You can't preach somebody saved until you preach them lost. I had to come to a saving knowledge. I had to be brought to a place where God began to reveal to me who I was in light of who He was. And I began to see how sinful and how ugly my sin was in comparison to His beauty and His holiness. And I was undone in His presence. And I said, oh God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Cleanse me, Lord, from all sin, all unrighteousness. There's a sense of reverential fear that came upon the people. The power of the Holy Spirit was so evident. And their hearts were captivated. Guys, I love the times we have together, but God has more. I want a greater intensity of His glory and His presence in here. How about you? We're praying for that. Amen. I want a greater manifestation of His power and His glory in this house because God is good. And when you're in His presence, you're just complete. Amen. There's fullness of joy. When you're clothed in His righteousness, you're no longer like a slave. You become a son. You become an heir. But as an heir, you also understand the authority of your Father and you respect greatly your Father. Are you hearing me, somebody? Even though He's such a loving Father, He's also a very strict Father. Because you and I are called to represent Him in this world, His honor is at stake. Isaiah 6:5, and I said, oh, it's all over. I am doomed. He said, I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Again, Job said, I have heard of you by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, I want to say one more thing. Are you okay? I got one amen, so we're okay. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
The fear of the Lord will deliver you from the fear of man. The fear of the Lord will deliver you from the fear of evil. I know who my Father is. I know my God has all power, all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen? That the Lord is with me, the Lord is for me, the Lord has commissioned me, the Lord has sent me, He is with me, He will never leave me or forsake me, so I should not in any way be intimidated by my adversaries, those demons, those devils that want to make you scared at night. Scared. Amen, you should be able to turn the light off and go to sleep and sleep in peace in the light, amen. No, my God is with me, and God is for me, and my God will protect me. It will deliver you. The fear of the Lord will deliver you from the fear of man. Jesus says, don't fear Him who can kill your body. Can't do any more with you. Fear Him who has the power to kill both body and cast soul into hell. Fear Him. That's what Jesus said. Ooh. That's the beginning of knowledge. I'm beginning to realize who God really is. Not all the watered down stuff and fluff. Amen? But who God truly is, He's holy. He's righteous. And the only way for you and I to be in His presence is to be clothed in His righteousness. To be clothed in His presence. And I have to come into light. I can't hide in the shadows. I can't hide out from God. There's no place I can go where God is not. Amen? Everything is open and bare before Him. To whom we must give an account. So today is a day of salvation. Today is a day where I can get my heart right with God. Today is a day where I can run to Jesus and plead His mercy in my life and receive His forgiveness and receive the garment of His righteousness and be saved. Hallelujah. And then have confidence that I can walk with my God every day and enjoy His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Whew. People who fear the Lord are the ones who truly know Him. Those who know Him will live to honor and glorify Him. Those who know Him will not bring disgrace upon Him. When the fear of the Lord is in you, you will be very respectful. And when the fear of the Lord is in you, you be very careful how you live among people who don't know God, because you know that His honor is at stake and you are representing Him. When the fear of the Lord is in you, it will keep you. Are you hearing me, somebody? And when you're being pressured and tempted even by the crowd to go a certain way, it's the fear of the Lord that will give you the courage and the boldness to stand against that and say, I will not bow my knee to Baal. I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'll put on the full armor of God. Amen. My confidence is in Christ alone. The fear of the Lord will keep you from the fear of man and from the fear of the enemy, of the devil. As we seek Him, we'll be changed. So Hebrews 4:16, I'll close with this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, I love it. How can I come boldly to the throne of grace? By the precious blood of Christ. Amen. When I realize that Jesus shed His blood for me, and as my great high priest, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus Himself took that blood, amen, and went behind the veil in heaven itself, and He sprinkled that blood in the mercy seat before the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. And that blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. That blood speaks out, amen, for mercy and grace for those who will come by way of the cross, who will kneel before God in repentance and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That blood will avail for you. Your sins can be blotted out. You can have a clean slate. Amen. Never to be remembered against you. Never to be held against you. All those things of the past, all the ugly things that the devil wants to remind you of. Amen. God says, I've settled it at the cross. Those sins will never be. They've been taken away, nailed to the cross. Never to be remembered again. Don't take that stuff back. But Jesus, our great high priest, He went before us, amen, and He sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat so that you and I, by way of that blood, by our confidence in what Jesus did for us, we can with boldness approach the throne of God. Not based on my own goodness. Oh, God, I've been such a good person today. I'm sure You'll be open to hear me. Now I say, Lord, thank You for Your mercy. And thank You for Your blood. And thank You for forgiveness today. And thank You, Lord, because of that blood, You are open to my prayers, that You hear me. And I know that when You hear me, God, that You will answer my prayers according to Your will. Amen. Amen. So we can with confidence come to the throne of grace by the blood, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need that every day. Amen.